Pittsburgh Steelers fans, welcome to this week's episode of Steelers Touch Down Under. I'm Matt Peverell, joined by my co-host as always, Marky D, Marky Davison. How you going, mate?
It's getting better and better every single time. Touch Down Under. Here we go. One day away, really, from the Steelers start, eh? What a time to be alive and to be a Steeler fan. All the off-season is coming around, and here we are. Here we go, Steelers. We're here. We're ready to go. It's going to be our 3 a.m. It's going to be crazy. I'm so pumped up. I'm so keen. How are you, Matty?
I'm amped. Yeah. You see, Marky D and I, before we get on the show, we have a little... I'm trying to figure out how we can bring it to you without breaking copyright, but... We have a little pump up with a particular AC/DC song, Thunderstruck. And so, you know, we like sort of hum down under to it. So that I'm amped up. I'm continuing the AC/DC vibes, Marky D. But yeah, first game of the season. What do you know? It's kind of been funny for us because obviously we came to you guys live last week and ahead of the Bills game, we talked a little about it. We're going to do that as well today. But we're actually going to talk about a couple of other things as we look forward to the season as well, because really, you guys have listened to heaps of things about the Bills and including for us. So my Michael Latham says, go ahead and wave the towel on time for the nation. That's it, mate. That is absolutely it. Look, I got to say, welcome to the family as well in the live chat. I mean, people were jumping right in. We've got McAdoo gaming with, GIO is an insurance company here. GIO, but I think it's GIO for this. Portner's in there early. Sean Manahan, Daredevil. Who else we got? Carl, Clarence, you know, awesome to see continuing Clarence. Rhino Tools back. It's been a little while, Rhino Tools, so good to see you back in the chat. Maybe I just haven't recognized. It's hard when we're hosting this show. Carl Johnson, Owen David. Now, I only have a shout out to Owen David, Mark. I know it's not the biggest news of the week, but I got to tell you, Owen and I have been going at it with some Browns fans on Twitter. It's, you know, we just said one simple thing. They took it very personally. And the reason I bring it up is because this is the hypocrisy from some of our AFC North, you know, rivals fans. They sat there and had a crack at Owen and I about being fans of the Steelers, even though we're, you know, based outside of the US. And then we went through it. And the guy giving the crack was from the UK as well. So different. Apparently, you can have different rules depending on which team you go for. Anyway, I just want to say, I wanted to shout out Owen, you know, another, you know, wannabe Yinza brother like me and a Steeler fan. Love it. But yeah, it's awesome to see some people back. Ron Chess is in there as well. You know, I love that from Ron Chess. Turn up the wattage, which brings us to the big news of the week, Marky D. I know I had a rant about it on War Room and, you know, questioned whether the Steelers were facing an identity crisis, but, Marky D, how did you feel when he signed the deal and all the reports about him storming into the Rooney's office and telling the agent to get stuffed?
He didn't storm into the office. Come on. Like, that's been...
Was there an O lineman holding the door for him? I actually feel like he's got like an old O lineman, you know, Rooney.
He did the whole, this is Pittsburgh, and kicks down
and
the door.
Kicks in the door.
That's been, you know, blown out like hugely. But look, it's great. I think we all knew people were getting a bit crazy about, oh, will he sign, won't he sign? I think we all knew he was going to sign. We knew he was going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. Got a 5-year contract, millions of dollars. Great. I don't really go into the money. I just want to see him be a Steeler. He's signed up now. He knows where he's going to be. He knows what's going to happen. So let's just cheer him on because, and look, I don't think he ran in there and you know, told his agent to hold the phone and push him away. And I don't know. It's a lot of theater. But look, hey, we got him signed. Let's go. Like, this is it. This is the time. This is, we can have him for the next, is it 4 years, 5 years or whatever it is?
Yeah. So it's a four year add on. So it's technically a 5-year deal because there's actually a bit of moving around of money. So his cap hit for this year has gone, according to Over the Cap, it's gone from, I think it's 10 million. It was 10 million and 89,000. And now it's like 8 million flat. You know, Wes brings up that they leaked that story. Yeah, it's probably got a bit of romanticism to it. But, you know, it must have been a conversation like, why are we pushing for more money? Let's just get it done. The interesting thing for me about the deal, and I know we don't really want to go deep into the money part, but after next year, you know, he'll crack $30 million each year for 3 years, which puts him into quarterback territory. Like, that's Josh Allen, Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, and Ryan Tannehill money. The other interesting thing about it, too, is, like, the guarantees, because it was the big issue with all the guarantees, is, like, how much will it be guaranteed? It's next year and the year after, 2022 and 2023, that he's got a lot of that money. Then after that, it's actually team-friendly. So the Steelers have come up. I think TJ Watt's ended up with his money, which is fantastic. And, you know, the Steelers have ended up keeping him, which is fantastic. And we're in a really good position. And they can move some money around over future years, too, if Ben's coming back. And I think this is the thing, is, like, they're probably sitting there going, how does Ben feel? You know, what's going to happen there as well? So, look, as you said rightly, Mark, it's just fantastic to have him back. It's fantastic to lock him in. I would have liked to have seen it gone a little bit longer. I was happy for them to give him a 6 to 7 year deal and sign him up till his early 30s, because I think he's going to be more expensive when we go around again. But hey, we got it done. End of story. Let's get into the season. So, you know, it's awesome there. So, Mark, any other news of the week that was big for you as well, that around the NFL? I mean, it was sort of a funny week in the lead up to.
You know what? It's not funny, but the Ravens did lose all their running backs, which is crazy. I know, I've never heard of that. I think it's like four players, including the cornerback, that had ACL injuries, and all three running backs are gone. And now they've got to bring in like guys like Le'Veon Bell, Freeman's in there, and the other guy, Lattimore, I think it is, coming in. And no matter what, they could be okay running backs, good running backs, but they don't know the system.
So you brought that up, like, because I saw an article from Cynthia Freeland, you know, the lady that does all the it's just really good analytics for NFL.com.
Wait, stop. Do you like that? They'll win 23-20. They'll win 27-24. No, they'll win
28-21. I don't. But there's something to be said. Like, you know, the world lives around numbers and metrics and that. But anyway, she basically plugged it all in, right? When they had the J.K. Dobbins injury, they went from, I think it was 11.1 wins to 10.8 wins. And then with the next injury, they went to like 10.1 wins. And then with the next injury, they went to 9.6 wins based on statistics. 9 wins ain't going to win you the AFC North. So, I mean, look, it's very different and what have you in terms of what in reality happens. But I think it's interesting when you watch that tick down, because, you know, Latavius Murray there, they're looking at Freeman, they've got Bell. Like, if you're sitting there, Todd Gurley, you're getting the raw prawn, mate. Like, no one's even considering him. Like, I don't know. I said to Jeff, and someone slammed me on Twitter, I was like, I would be giving the Ravens a call and saying, what do you want for Snell? Like, what do you give us for Snell? Honestly.
I think it's big trouble, though, really, losing three backs and the cornerback. And I might have said someone, I think I said Marcus Lattimore. Who's that? Who's Marcus
Lattimore? Marcus Lattimore's the cornerback, really good cornerback for the Saints. But Latavius Murray was released from the Saints.
So. I'm so far off. Yeah, look, it's huge. Like, that's huge news for the season for the Ravens. And they're really still favorite to win the AFC North and to beat a lot of teams. I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders give it to them in week one, because they don't have their whole team there. You know, they've got to rely now on Lamar for running and really passing pretty much the whole offense. Because I don't think Bell will do that much down there. I really don't think he'll do that much.
Well, I don't either. And Ike Taylor came out this week on another Steelers podcast and said, you know, he thought that Le'Veon Bell was going to ball out. I'm like, I'm actually going to disagree with you there big time. But, you know, only because I just don't think, if you look at that offensive line too, right, it might be one of the biggest, if not the biggest offensive line in the NFL. But at the end of the day, like, it's new. It's got a lot of old guys. Guys are playing out of position. I find it very odd. But I think it's also been brought up in the live chat, like Marcus Peters. That is massive for them. Like, yes, they've still got Marlon Humphrey. They've still got Tavon Young. They've got Chalk in the backfield. Or Clark, sorry, in the backfield as well there. You know, but I just think losing Marcus Peters is, that's a massive loss for them on the defense.
We're going to know a lot week one if They keep it close with the Raiders because the Raiders aren't really a good side. However, the Raiders
depend on the Raiders for me, though. Like, if the Raiders open it up or not with Derek Carr.
And it's their first home game with fans. And who's the coach who's a fired-up coach? Gruden is in there. So, you never know. I think the Ravens are a bit of trouble. And that they you can't lose that many players, can you? Really? So, we'll see what happens. But we're not here to talk about the stinky Ravens.
No, we're not. It was brought up in the live chat, and I had it written down in my notes as well, so I'm going to cover it. Portner brings up countryman Jordan Mailata, just signed with the Eagles, the four-year, $64 to $80 million, depending on the guarantees. You know, and Portner says, can we scout another left tackle for the Steelers? I don't know. Like, they've got to come over earlier, like, if you're going to do it. But I know that there's a lot of increase in how many Australians are making it into the college football system and not in positions out other than punter. But good on Mailata. Like, you know, he copped a lot of criticism when he started and he stuck at it and he worked hard and he put, like, he forewent a lot of money that he could have made, you know, early as an NRL player and tried to come over. So I'm all credit to him. And, you know, I go back, I remember watching him live with the Good Morning Football crew on draft day. You know, and they interviewed him and how big he was and what have you, you know, and big even compared to NFL players and what a good bloke he was. So, you know, hats off to him, really, you know, hats off to him. So
the thing is, Matty, like with a lot of NRL stars that go over there, like Hain went over there and Holmes went over there. I just feel they go over there for a break. But whereas maybe Mailata bought in and had a real dig to change his life. And he had a, so you got to really celebrate those guys because they've given up what they could have, maybe a short-term gain for a long-term game, but it takes a long time to get it. Now, everyone cheers on the flashy player like Hain. I didn't really care because I knew that he was coming back. And he did some things over there and he's in a bit of trouble. But the other guy, Holmes, is too. Holmes, he was a receiver or a running back. He played for the Jets. I don't know who he played for, Holmes did. But he was a Cowboy.
Jets, yeah.
Yeah, and then everyone's talking about him and he did nothing. And then he's come back to the Cowboys. So
you've got to go over. Like, you got to go over when you're in your late teens, early 20s. Like, you can't go over at 25. That's the crux of it, really. But you know, Porter says, yeah, he played juniors for like the Rabbitohs. He didn't really, I don't even think he played in the actual NRL. But anyway, is what it is. But Mark, so yeah, it was just sort of interesting. And I thought like there was a lot of sort of different interesting injuries that sort of happened this week in different people. But I think the breaking news this morning for us was that, you know, that Highsmith was playing. So I think that's really important. The other thing that we wanted to do, I mean, let's just bumper, like we came in, as I say, pretty amped up. But before we go into looking at a couple of things to preview the Bills game, and then you know, obviously we'll move into part two after that as well. Is Mark, you know, I know you've got some thoughts on this, so I'll just say a couple of quick things. Is that for us, our thoughts go out to all of you there in the US. It's 20 years since that, you know, awful day that was 9/11 that changed the world. You know, and depending, and people have got varying different views on it and what happened since and the rest of it. But regardless, there were some 3,000 plus people that never went home that day. And it was incredibly, it's just an awful, awful thing to happen. I think it was pretty crazy. You know, I'll give one insight from the other side of the world that I remember. And that was we'd come home from an event, you know, I was 10 years old. My mum had sat down and flicked on that she thought she put on the news, and she saw the plane in the first tower. And then she sat there and went, oh, I must be watching some crazy movie, and tried to flick the channels. And she was like, this is the news. She's like, oh my gosh, what a terrible accident. And then, you know, and then from there, she saw that, watched live as the second plane hit the towers, and was just like, oh my gosh. And then I remember waking up when I heard her reaction. I came downstairs and it was just, we were in kind of disbelief. And as a 10-year-old, you sort of sit there and you went like, whoa, what is this? This is nuts. Like, and I was into action movies and James Bond and all the rest of it. And like, I was struggling to comprehend that this was a real thing until I woke up the next day and I saw it. And, you know, it's an incredible thing. And, you know, I went to Ground Zero the year after. We went to New York for my mom had a work trip there, and we went with her, and I never forget, because she had a colleague that she lost in it, and I think it was, and I remember it was still all covered with ply board, and all the photos of the missing people were there, and all the flowers and the flags and everything else, and it was incredible. And then I went back in 2014, and I saw what the memorial is now, with the, you know, almost like crater like you know, concrete and marble and all the rest of it. And yeah, it's incredibly eerie. From like, I saw the one side, which was that loss and that fresh element of it, like 9 months after the tragedy. And then you go now and you look at it, and it's a place of deep reflection. And you know, I've seen lots of stories this week, and we've had a lot of it through our media for the last fortnight as well in Australia. And you know, you just look at it, and it just makes you think how lucky you are. And you hear about the near misses and what have you from that terrible day. And you know, we're all very lucky to enjoy the freedoms that we do. And I know it's, you know, there's a lot of crazy things going on in every Western country and what have you about freedoms at the moment. But putting all that aside, you know, there were 3,000 innocent people that lost their lives plus that day. There's many people that have lost their lives since fighting for our freedoms. And yeah, it's just thoughts and prayers not just like the colloquial saying, like we were deeply thinking about what this means for particularly, you know, our Steelers family and our American family as well. So.
Well said. I just want to say, yeah, that's honestly well said. I'll say a few little things. Yeah, when I was little, when I first heard about it, it's so strange for us on this day. It's one of the biggest days of our lives in Americans and all around the world. But when it's not funny, but it's crazy, right? So when we woke up at this time, 9 a.m., we saw it happen on replay. But Australians thought it was live, right? But I believe it happened at 9 a.m. American time. So it happened while we were sleeping. So when we woke up, I was in year six, and we all turned on the TV, and we thought, you know, what the hell is going on? Is this real life? And I think us being that age, Manny, we know what's going on, but then we still kind of don't. At the same time, we don't really know how to bring in the emotion. Are we affected? Are we not? I went to year six that day, but I still remember where I was, and you know, things of that nature. But it's an incredible time. It's been 20 years since that really stopped the whole world. And the images and the visuals of that day, it's just ridiculous how that happened. And like you said, thoughts and prayers, like honestly, something so far away from us can be so close to us too, a bit like Tunch. So I've got a rule, and this is, I'll end it on this and how much respect I like to show to what happened on that day in America. I've been to America 7 times, and every time I go to New York, I've been to New York twice, once with my best friend and once with my dad. I've got a rule that every time we go there, we have to go say our respects first before we do anything else. No matter what, we have to go to the memorial. And, you know, so I'm not a big fan of people doing the selfies and taking this kind of stuff and acting like a tourist site. I really don't understand that. That grinds my gears so much. I believe this is it's a gravesite. It's death, and it's part of life. It's what it is. But these people are happy, and you can be happy, but like they're taking photos. I don't get that. I don't like that at all. So the first time I went with my best friend, we sat there in silence for 30 minutes, and we had laughed the whole American trip. But it's something so close to us, and how real that it could have been us in Sydney, you know. So my rule is, every time I go to America, and when I go there in the future, whoever I go with, is if I'm in New York, I have to go there first, and before I do anything, before, you know, you get there and have your sleep, but the next morning, get a train down there and say respects, and then that's it. So, yeah, well, I'm getting a bit fired up, Matty. This is geez.
Well, then let's get into it. Let's talk Steelers. Let's bring it back. Right, let's be lighthearted, buddy.
Jeez. All right. Well, I think we said what we needed to say.
We said it right now. I know it's a big warm up, but we're in now with Marky D, we're getting into the Bills game. I want to do a little bit of a preview before in part two. We're going to do, usual scene, the slang. We're also going to redo our record prediction for the season as well. And obviously, we're going to do live Q&A. We love the audience Q&A. It's one of our favorite things. We look forward to it. We want to give you guys some bumper time to do that as well. So, look, let's get into it with the Bills. Before we do, though, I did a bit of research, right, Mark? And did you know that over the last 5 or 6 years, there's been a shift towards passing on first down of the first play of the game. And in fact, play action has gone up from 30% over the last 5 or 6 years to almost 37%. So the first thing I'm going to ask you in previewing this week's game against the Bills, what is Matt Canada going to do with Big Ben and Najee Harris and the Steelers offense on the first play of the game?
Okay, are you saying that Big Ben's going to fake it to Najee and then go deep to Quable for a 70-yard touchdown?
You tell me. Or is it going to be a 1 yard up the middle Randy Featner special?
Not this game. If it was at home versus the Jets, yes. Not in Buffalo. You have to run it. Sorry, I missed what you said. I was thinking. What did you say before that?
I missed it. Seattle has two losses.
I totally missed what you said. I was like, anyways, that's our.
What's going to happen? Yeah. What's going to happen? First play, Big Ben gets under center.
Just to run to Najee, I reckon.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, no. I don't know. He'd probably pass it.
I want to see a jet sweep to DJ.
You reckon?
Around the edge. Oh man, it would be. No one would think of that. Go. You know what? Wildcat Najee straight up the middle, fake a sweep.
So you're going to motion DJ back out to say to the right and then back. Then when he comes back in, it's going to look like a run.
Cut him all the way around. Yeah.
Bam.
Yeah.
And these guys on the edge won't really predict that. They won't be trying to go for the running back and see you later off the edge. Two receivers on the outside run to blocking lanes and get 30 yards, 40 yards.
100%. And you know what? Owen brings up Chase. Do the double. Do the fake sweep. Have Chase going one way, DJ going the other. Who knows who's got the ball?
What about, okay, you have that one and I'll have a flea flicker. So they'll go to Najee and then back to Big Ben and then the two. I like yours better than mine. Like that's, like I can see that happening. But I can also just see them coming out.
Mate, it's either, as you said, a little rush from Najee for two or three, or it's a little slant to Juju. I actually think it could be a slant to Juju.
They might not even come out with Najee in the field. They might just come out with Big Ben and shotgun. And
how good would it be if they came out five wide?
If they come out five wide, right, that means that Najee doesn't technically get a start, does he?
No. Depends if he's playing in there, though, on the five wide. That'd be good. Actually, that could be interesting with the motion.
But on the five, on the first snap of the ball, I believe that statistic-wise, if you're not in that unit, then you don't get the start, do you? So... No. They might not give Najee the start. What if they went Wildcat? Nah, we're getting too crazy. Wildcat to Najee.
but all right. So last week we talked about some players to watch in that. What do you think? We've had a whole nother week of this. You've heard lots of analysis. We know different injuries, all the rest of it. What is the one thing that you think the Steelers have to be really careful doesn't become the Achilles heel in this week's game against the Buffalo Bills?
Passing a little bit. Don't give up on the run, no matter what. Don't give up on the run if you're down by 10 points in the third quarter. If you're forcing those passes and you're giving up the downs, you're getting into third and eight territory. You kind of know where you're going to go. However, saying that, the flip side is Ben can make those plays, so third and eight, it can normally go that way too. Don't give up on the run. If it goes nowhere, I really see big things in the. I see Najee having a big game. I just like his confidence. I like the way he runs. I like the guy behind the O-line. It's a tough game, but I think Buffalo should be wary of us too. But just don't give up on the run, because no matter what, if we're down by 10 points, we can bring it back, and the run's going to help us. What do you think?
Yeah, for me, it's interesting when you talk about that, because it's easy to say the O-line. I want the Steelers. I'm just being careful how I frame this. I think the Steelers' defense, particularly in the secondary, needs to not let Josh Allen get into a rhythm. Right, we're all scared about the medium to deep passing with Diggs, right? Or not scared, but conscious of it. But I don't want him getting a rhythm and getting confidence by getting a lot of short to medium, you know, passes through to different people. And I think a lot's been made of the fact that, you know, the Bills tight ends are not particularly great. But I think David Knox is playing. And if David Knox is playing, he can actually do some stuff. And equally, you know, I think some of their backs, both Moss and Singletary, can do a bit more, you know, out of the short passing game as well than what they often give credit for. And obviously we know Josh Allen can run. So that's my thing, is I want to see how the cornerbacks step up, because for me, at the moment, that's the biggest question in this room. We've talked about on the defense, we've talked about whether the Steelers are going to acquire someone for a while. They have to step up. We had the trade last week for Witherspoon. They have to make Josh Allen feel the pressure early. Like, Josh Allen's got the pressure. You know, we talked about this about a year ago when we talked about Baker Mayfield constantly, right? And it's going to amp up with him as he signs another contract. But Josh Allen has signed this massive contract. Week one, at home, against the Steelers, who you've had the mark over them for the last couple of years. The pressure is on him to make these throws. He's got to validate this contract. He's got this relationship with Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to really tighten the screws on that pressure. We need to force in completions. We need to contest the ball. We need tackle people. We need to put people on their bum, you know, block the hell out of people. This is what I want to see from the Steelers, because if you let him get into this rhythm through the first or second, late into the first, early into the second quarter, the game's going to be, you know, much harder come the back end of the third and early the fourth, when, you know, really a lot of the time, you know, the game gets settled. So in terms of the results, so that's my real piece, is how do you make it harder for Josh Allen? How do you tighten the screws of pressure? And how do you make him sweat? Because if you make him sweat, that's when mistakes are going to be forced, and guys like Hayden and Minka and Devin Bush can come up with awesome plays.
Yeah, yeah. Don't let those receivers get off the line scot-free and wide open. And, you know, wide open, like, you know, separation of 1 meter, 2 meters, all that kind of stuff. You want to see, I think you said it best when you said contested catches. Like, you want to see the receivers work for it to get the ball. And you want to see Pierre, Hayden, whoever's Sutton, whoever's corner, that if they can slow down the receivers off the line and be in their face, then, you know, the other blokes are going to come around the corner, and TJ Watt and those fellas are going to rush the quarterback. So it's so interesting, all this lead up, and it's coming down to this, to kind of see what's going to happen for maybe the next 4 or 5 games. And it's a big game, but if these players, if they play better than what they did with the Browns and they turn up, I think the Bills should be worrisome. They shouldn't. Every single NFL side, I swear I go on to, they're saying that the Bills are going to win by 8. They're going to win by 10. They're going to win by 14. They're going to thump us. But I don't see that, because Najee will keep us in the game. And our defense should also, like you said, contain Josh to make him, if he's a $100 million player, he's got to go. If he goes lights out, like 3 TDs or 4 TDs, well, what do you do? That's part of the game, and he's one of the best, right? But if we can make him go 1 TD and maybe interception, or, you know, drop the ball a few times, put some pressure. Like I said to you before, I want to hear the Niagara Falls. I want to hear silence. Silence in the crowd. I don't want to hear one. I don't want to hear one person. Like, I'd fly over there and throw myself through a table, and that would be the only sound, just that crack. You know, that I just want to hear silence in that, because they're so amped up. The Bills won the fan of the year for ESPN 2 years running. Who cares? You've lost 4 Super Bowls in a row. How do you not win one Super Bowl, Matty? You know, back in the day, they went to 4 Super Bowls and they lost every single one. And you're thinking, by near the end, oh, hang on a minute, I'm at the 4th Super Bowl. I'm pretty sure I'm going to get this one. No, you didn't, because you suck. Amped up.
Oh, that's fantastic, Marky D. That's fantastic, Marky D. And I guess my other question for you as well, you know, apart from Najee, I want you to pick one player that is new to the Steelers this year. Doesn't have to be a rookie, can be someone else they acquired, who is going to step up and absolutely make it. They don't have to be the best player of the game, but they're going to step up and make a play that changes the game.
You know what I was thinking while I was having my coffee this morning? I was thinking about Buddy Johnson.
What were you thinking, Mark?
Oh, many things. But Buddy Johnson, and I was thinking about what a game that this is going to be. Special teams. I think it's going to be part of it.
I was going to ask you, is it special teams or defense?
To be special teams, because off the kickoff, first game in Buffalo, if they can go down, they've got, you know, number 44. I can't pronounce his name.
Tyler Matakavich.
Yeah, Big Red, that guy. And he played well.
Does he wear 44 for them?
Yeah. I shared his post the other day on Slack, and I remember that I followed him on Instagram, and I went, what am I doing? anyways, so I think that if they can make a key play on the from the kickoff, from the punt, and turn the ball over or a big tackle, like get the team energized and fired up. Like, you know that I can't remember. What's Johnson's number? He was 51, but now he's something else. He's four? The live chat might know. I don't know what his number is. But if Johnson can make a big play.
It's not 45, is it?
44? I can't remember.
No, it is. It's 45. I'm right. It is
45. Yeah, it's like 45. Johnson can make a big play on the team. Well, the teams in general make a big play. And, you know, with Presley Harvin as well, shooting that ball through the air, then that's going to flip the field and put some more pressure. So it's going to start there too. Yeah. Kickoff coverage or whatever, that's going to start.
Yeah, I love it.
Who's your player? I can guess. Is your player Freiermuth?
Oh, you know me too well, Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. But I think it's like there's going to be a key block, or there's going to be, you know, there's going to be a key catch on a key down. It might be like third and four or what have you, but it ends up, you know, getting them a couple of more down, you know, it ends up getting the next down that then results in a, you know, touchdown or what have you, or keeps the drive going. Like, it's not going to be, look, it may well be a great, you know, catch for a touchdown in the red zone, but it's, yeah, for me, when I look at Highsmith, when I look at Freiermuth, I was also thinking though, you know, with Highsmith having his injuries this week, Ingram is going to be crucial. Even with TJ Watt, think about it, like TJ Watt, you know, yes, he's been training and, you know, I'm sure he's going to be raring to go. He signed that deal. And everyone's like, yeah, you know, I think Bab talked about it in the preview. He'll be come out blazing great. I want TJ to come out and temper it. I don't want him to come out too hard too quickly and end up injured, right?
No.
And when you've got Melvin Ingram, we can see this is the thing that I think is the difference between the Bills and the Steelers in this game, right? You look at the additions that we've had. We've brought in guys – like Najee has the most tempered, you know, I'm going to say this word, tempered ego amongst for a first round draft pick than you've kind of seen. Like, he just gets to work, he's mature, what have you. The maturity of the draft picks we've had, and there's a lot of talk about their leadership and what have you. We've, and the veterans that we've brought in as well. We've got a mature team that knows how to go through the game, that's experienced, that doesn't have to be overhyped. You know, you need to, you know, the game goes, this is a cliche, but the game goes for 60 minutes, you know, when it kind of goes for 3 hours, really, with all the breaks and the rest of it. But the game goes for 60 minutes. You don't win the game from one quarter. So you've got to temper things. You've got to do things. And it's like what you said, Mark, if you get behind, you don't abandon the run. You've got to be methodical. You got to take things sense, you know, really with common sense. Just slow it down, play your game, and get it, you know, and see how that delivers for you. So I think for me, it's guys like Melvin Ingram that are going to show up. A guy like Miles Killebrew, look out for him too. But yeah, when I talk about a new addition that I think is going to make a major impact, giving Ben an Ebron and a Freiermuth, and they're going to have to try a couple of plays with them both on the field at least. Like, you got to see it, right? So, you know, I'm excited to see that. And Wes has made a bold prediction of Najee Harris, 23 rushes for 145 yards, 2 TDs, 47 yards.
Bring it up. I can see that. I really can. He's a special player. He just when those preseason games, he's really running the rock. I could see it. Could you not? Like, if that happened, we'd be shocked. We'd be like, yes, we got one. Let's go.
But before we wrap up part one of this week's Steelers Touch Down Under, I want to bring up Shield's super chat here, $5 in the tip jar. Thanks so much, Shield. Shield 91. He's like, hey, mates. He always does this on Twitter too. I love it. It brings on the Aussie. Hope your week was good. Just ran my 8 mile. Is that Mackinac? So I said that right? Mackinac Island Race?
Mackinac.
Went super well, and I'll catch the stream for my 16 mile tomorrow. I love it. It's fantastic. That's crazy, mate. What a run. All right. Well, if you're on the YouTube or Facebook side right now, stay tuned for part two. Will be a couple of seconds. And if you're on the audio side, please flick over to part two. We're going to have, as usual, slinging the slang. We're going to talk about what we now feel the Steelers record is going to look like. Mark and I are going to have our punt of the week for this week. And as always, audience Q&A. And I know there's some awesome questions coming. So just stay tuned for a couple more moments.